Let's read the Bible. Today's Bible verse is Genesis 22, verse 1 through to 24. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through to 24. The reading will be from verse 1 through to 3 and 9 to 14. Let us read. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Now verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," Adonai Jireh. And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." From this verse, Pastor Anjiki will give us the message called Adonai Jireh, "The Lord will provide." Good morning, everyone. Do you know the writer called Naoki Shakta? He's written the novel, bestseller novels called Eternal Zero and A Man Who Was Called Pirate. And he has a son who was just graduating university. And one day the son said, "Dad, I don't know why, but when I hear the word Nagoya, I feel a terror. I don't know why is it. I have never been to Nagoya. I have never lived there. But whenever I hear the word Nagoya, I feel negatively." But actually, Mr. Hakata knew why it was. When his son was still in the kindergarten, back in these days, Mr. Hakata was living near the Yodo River in the Osaka, and every Monday, he would go to Nagoya for the work. And in the morning, he would say, "Okay, I'm going to Nagoya." And one morning when he was trying to go to Nagoya, his son started to say, "I'm not going to go to the kindergarten, I want to go to Nagoya." Probably because his dad always sounded joyful when he went to Nagoya. So he guessed that Nagoya must be fun. And compared to that, "I'm bored of the kindergarten, so I'm going to Nagoya." And mom would say, "No, you cannot go to Nagoya, you're going to the kindergarten." But he insisted, "I'm going to Nagoya, Nagoya." Then Mr. Hakata said, "Okay, today you're going to Nagoya with me. Make sure you follow me tightly." So they left the house and they went to the Yodo River nearby. And they went to the riverbank. Then there's a reed plants as high as the height of the sun. and dad would go into the riverbank, and the son really struggled to follow him. So he was covered with mud and the cut from the reeds. Then they arrived to the riverbank. Then he said, "Are we already at Nagoya?" Then Mr. Hyakusa said, "Well, we have to cross this river to go to Nagoya. How are we going to cross the river? We're going to swim." Then the son said, "Okay, I'm going to the kindergarten." And he changed direction and returned home. So because he was very young, he's forgotten about it. But whenever he heard Nagoya, these negative feelings or the terror of that day's experience is aroused in him. So that was the reason. And in today's Bible verses, we see a certain father and a son going through a very impactful experience, which can never be forgotten through their life. It's such a strong experience. So what happened was, in the verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Sometime later, it's talking about chapter 21. And there it says, God has put him into the test. And this word test is a very important key word to understand the work of God. In the Bible, a test is an expression used only for the people of God and not for the people of other religion or other country. And in the New Testament, the test is only used for the people with faith, the Christians, and not for the people with unbelief. So, we can tell that the reason God tests people is to lift their faith up and to let them grow into the vessel that will bring even greater blessings of God. So here, God wanted to grow the faith of Abraham and make it more abundant so that he can carry more blessings of God. And so that he can receive God's blessing and bring them to the nations. He wanted Abraham to become the giant of faith. So God put Abraham into a test. So, of course, Abraham had gone through many tests before this. For example, when he was 75 years old, he was living in the homeland Ur. Then God said, "Leave your homeland and go to the place where I show you." And so God asked. And that was the start of his test. And in the halfway, he lost his father Terah. Then he was separated from his nephew Lot. And he had to wait for a long time until that promised son was given, although the promise was given earlier. And then finally he received the son, promised son, after over 20 years. And then there was a conflict between his wife Sarah and Hagar, the maidservant. But this time, the test was very special because now it dealt with a person's life and it was to do with his beloved son, Isaac. So what God said is here. Verse 1, he said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Here I am." This word in Hebrew is hineini, hineini. So Abraham said in one word, hineini. And this shows Abraham's determination and the readiness to follow God. It's like saying, "Master, I await here. Give me your order. Anything, I will do it." So this is the word full of obedience. Then God gives an astounding order. "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." So, what God said in the original Hebrew text, it's put in such an order like this. "Abraham, take your son." Then Abraham would say, I have two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Then he would say, your only son. Then Abraham would answer, well, they are the only son for each mother. So God would say, whom you love. Then Abraham would say, I love them both. Then God makes it very clear, Isaac. So it's not Ishmael, it's Isaac. And Abraham, when he heard that, he was probably shocked. And this order must have confused Abraham, because this order seems to contradict the previous promises of God, saying, your offspring will be as great as the stars in the sky. And this will happen through your son Isaac. But Isaac didn't have any offspring at this time. So if I kill Isaac, wait, what would happen? If I kill Isaac, what would happen to your promise that through Isaac, my offspring will become a great nation as numerous as stars? So of course, Abraham had this question. Abraham, when he heard this voice, he could have denied that order, saying this is not from God, because God would not say, kill Isaac. This contradicts his promise. He could have said, get behind me, Satan. This is not from God. But Abraham recognized this as God's voice. How did he guess that, even though it contradicts God's promise? The reason is simple, because it was the voice that he has been hearing for more than 50 years since he was 75 years old. So, also for you, if you hear the voice of your family, your husband, your sons, daughters, you would recognize them. When you're talking with many people, if you hear like that thick voice, or that high voice, you will know, oh, that is my wife, that is my husband. And for Abraham, God's voice was very familiar like that. I have heard this voice for 50 years, and this same voice says, offer Isaac. So he was sure this was from God. But of course, Abraham was still confused because of this contradiction. But what Abraham did is in verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. Although he had this contradiction, he still acted straight away. If we hear this order, we would say, okay, Lord, let me go home and think about this. Let me pray about it for a while. Let me seek God's will. So give me time. I guess that would be the normal reaction. But Abraham, he made the action early the next morning. And this region of Moriah is approximately 100 kilometers far from where Abraham lived. So he took Isaac and two other servants, four of them, left for Moriah. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and my boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. So, Abraham said, I will go worship and then I will come back. And he left these servants with the donkey. The reason why he left these two servants is probably because if he took them together when he was about to offer Isaac, they would have stopped him. Mm. They would have said like, Abraham, you're going out of your mind. So he left two of them so that they won't interfere with what he was doing. And they are going, Abraham and Isaac two of them alone. And they walked up to their destination. I wonder how they were walking. They probably weren't skipping like going to the, on the picnic, but it was very heavy steps. One step at a time. And then Isaac breaks this silence and asks his father, "Father, the fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" It was the last question Abraham wanted to hear. He replied, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." This word shows Abraham's trust towards God in the midst of anxiety and fear. He's trusting that God will provide somehow. And the two of them went together. So in the test, people often fear the loneliness. Of course, there are people who will encourage you and pray for you when you're in the test. But no one can take our place and walk up the way of Moriah for us. No one can get the test instead of us, because these tests are order made for us. So Abraham received this test from God and walked up to Moriah in the solitude. So now they have come to the dangerous place that God has appointed. And Abraham collected the stones and built an altar. Then he would take the woods from the back of Isaac and put them on the altar. And finally, Abraham bound Isaac. He would have bound him very tightly so that Isaac wouldn't move around. And then he would embrace his son and put his son on that wood. And he probably would have wished for the time to stop here eternally. And at the same time, all the memories until this day would have flashed through his mind. The joy of receiving that child finally at the age of 100. And the joy of feeding this baby Isaac and seeing him grow up. All these moments, all these joys. But he went on. In his great struggle, he lifts the knife and thrusts it upon Isaac's heart. And just then, but please wait for a moment. Please wait for the happy amen. Let us review Abraham's struggle once more. So there's this two contradicting promises and order. So his faith must have been shaken greatly. So unbelief is a sin, but there is such thing as healthy unbelief or healthy doubt. That is where you never doubt God's existence and God's love, but not understanding what is in front of you. And we often ask, "God, why would these things happen? If you're there, why would this happen to me? When I pray, nothing is happening. What should I do?" These things will happen. And these are the moments when our faith are growing. This is healthy unbelief. In the past, there was this experiment in America. In the big dome, they would grow a tree and they would give everything that is needed for the tree, like light and the fertilizers, and the trees will grow to a certain height. But then after that, these trees would fall because of their heavy weight. And the reason this happened is because there are no wind in the dome. So they cannot grow very big root. But in the wild, it's different. In the wild, the trees experience the wind and the storm. So the trees grow their roots deep into the ground. And it's the same with the faith. Because of these tests, our faith will grow deeper and stronger. So at this moment, Abraham's faith was shaken greatly. and his faith rooted deeper into the ground. So this healthy unbelief is necessary for the growth of faith. So, Abraham, how did he receive God's seemingly unreasonable order? In the Hebrews 11 verse 17 it says, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice." He, it says, by faith. And by the way, do you know how old Isaac was at this time? Often in the picture book of the children, it shows like Isaac as like a toddler, but he's not actually 5 or 6 years old. He's not even in his 17 or 18. He's at least 30 years old. More than 30 years. So, and Abraham was over 130 years old. So, imagine 30 years adult and 130 years grandpa. Well, which one would win? 30 years old, right? And that Isaac was obedient to be bound by his father. If he was a rebellious son, what would happen? Can you imagine? When dad tries to tie him, he would be like, "What? Don't be silly, dad. What? I'm the sacrifice? No way. Dad, stop being silly." And he could have bound his dad Abraham, and he could have sacrificed Abraham instead of himself. It could happen, actually. But here, Isaac was obedient to whatever Abraham was doing. So this test required the obedience of both Abraham and Isaac. Without that, this wouldn't have happened. So here, both of their faiths were combined. So let us read what happened after that. "Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied." So this "here I am" is also Hineini. "I'm here, Lord." "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." So Abraham really did offer Isaac. If he didn't know that God would stop him, he wasn't like, "God, you have to stop him now. Stop me now." No, he wasn't like that. But inside of him, he actually offered Isaac. And God stopped him just in the time so he would actually kill Isaac. And how did he receive God's unreasonable order? And that was by faith. But what kind of faith? In the Hebrews, it also explains that. 11 verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So, Abraham reasons this. So, God will give offspring through Isaac. I believe that. But I also accept God's order to kill Isaac. And at the same time, I believe, even if I kill Isaac, you can raise Isaac from the death. And you can carry on with your promise. So this is the first person in the Bible to have the faith of resurrection. That is why he's called the father of faith. He believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. So through having the faith of resurrection, he overcame this test. Then in verse 13, "Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And then Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide,' Adonai Jireh." And he confessed that God's provision is always at the right time. And God's provision was not only the ram, but there was another provision that was God was preparing in another place. From verse 20, there are the records of Abraham's brother Nahor. And we don't understand why there's this like family tree of Nahor over there. But in the verse 23, it says, Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. And this Rebekah is the one who becomes Isaac's wife later. And from their offspring, they would increase as much as the stars of the sky. And by this time, Isaac and Abraham doesn't even know about Rebekah, but God is already proceeding with his promises one after another. So God is already preparing for our future need. So that is why Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. There are many single man and woman, but I will say there is Isaac and Rebekah that is prepared by God today. Don't get a bad one in rush. There is a Rebekah for you, and there is Isaac for you. Receive that promise. And not only for the marriage, maybe some people are worried about their retirements, but God is already preparing for your future needs, even in your 70s, 80s. The Lord's provision is always there. And now, here is one last simple question. Why did God test Abraham in the way where it required Isaac to die? There must have been many other ways to test Isaac, but why did God test Abraham through offering Isaac? And there is a clear answer to that. So that Mount Moriah, after 2,000 years, that is a place where Jesus was crucified. So, God the Father offered His only beloved Son for our sin. In the Old Testament, Abraham is the only one who is called the friend of God. Of course, there are many other men of faith, Moses, David, and many prophets, but it's only Abraham that is called the friend of God. So Abraham and God was friends. It doesn't mean they were equal, but it means they had no secrets between them. So God, whenever He wanted to do something, He would always share it with Abraham. Like when He went to Sodom and Gomorrah, because there was Lot, Abraham's nephew over there, God decided to share that to Abraham. Without sharing to Abraham, He wouldn't do anything. And now, He was showing that after 2,000 years, He would offer His Son, Jesus, on that Mount Moriah. And God wanted His friend Abraham to share in the pain and grief of offering the only beloved Son. Abraham, I am going to sacrifice my own son on this mountain. I want you to know that pain because you are my friend. That is why I'm giving you this test. That is what God was intending. So through this incident of offering Isaac, his son, Abraham received God's plan as a revelation. And it is written in John chapters 8, verse 56. Jesus told the Jews in these days, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. So this means that when Abraham offered his only beloved son Isaac in this great test, he received the revelation of when God would offer his son, and he rejoiced. So through his obedience of faith, God showed Abraham the great day of redemption where God would redeem everyone from the sin. And here is the greatest blessing of the test. Through the test, our faith will grow and we will be able to see and consider things through God's perspective. So through the test, we ask God, why? Why? Because we don't understand from our human perspective. But when we go to heaven and we review our life on this earth, and every why in our lives will be understood in heaven, and we will say, oh God, is that why you did this? Oh, now I understand. God, you are wonderful. So we would be able to understand, oh God, that is right. What you do is right. And as our perspective grow closer to God, there will be less wise in our lives. And tests are there to show us that. So tests are not there to crush us, but it is there to grow us and mature us to the perspective of God. So Abraham, through this test, he was shown what God would do in the future, the great act of God. And maybe you are in the test right now, but these tests are there to grow you wider, to be able to receive more blessings of God, and to grow you higher so that you will be able to see things through God's eyes. So, as Abraham, we would like to have this faith of resurrection, knowing that we can always overcome the test. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, today we saw one of the climax of the Genesis. And we saw how much you loved Abraham and expected great things through him. Even through this test, the tests in our lives are there as your desire to grow us. I pray for those who are in the test right now. I pray that you will give them the faith of resurrection to overcome the test, and so that they would have a greater perspective of God when they overcome this test. I pray a blessing over them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let us pray in our own words for a while. May the love of our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with each one of you this week. Amen. Now there are a few announcements. So let us introduce the new person in this service. Sarah, welcome. Have a seat. And other announcements. So now we're having the spring markets. And today we have the bazaar. And the sales from these bazaar will be used for the joyful Christmas in December. And today we have the special lunch. The Peru food, Pojo Saltart. I'm not sure what it is, but it must be very yummy. Please buy one at the kitchen. And On Wednesday, we have prayer meeting, and this week we have global prayer from 7:30. And right now, it's Ramadan, Muslim prayer month. So we would like to pray for their salvation and blessings. And now, we have many international people in this church. So let's be friends. We're going to go see the cherry blossoms and play Moruk. And this is the first Sunday of April. We'll get together at Utsunomiya University campus. So if you're coming, please bring your drink and the picnic seats. If it rains, it will be canceled. And the fifth Sunday, so every year I think there are a couple of fifth Sundays, and they are the Sunday school snack day, snack party. So if your child come on this day, they will receive snacks. Wonderful. And from April, there are two new Bible study starting. So if you would like to know more about the Bible, please use them. And this year's Easter is April 19th and 20th. So we'll have the memorial service for those who have passed away. So, and we'll show the pictures of those who have passed away. So we'll have that on the first Saturday service and second and third Sunday services. So we won't have them at the Sunday first service and Saturday second service. And after the second service, we'll have the worship service at the cemetery, church cemetery. And we're asking for those with a family member who has already passed away to bring their pictures to the church so that we can show them on screen. So if you have the picture, please bring them to the office. And now we have the Easter book fair from the bookstore. So we'd have the Easter book fair in the church salon on these dates. And in the Shimotsuke, we have another church building called G House. And every third and fourth Saturday in the morning, we have the worship service over there. Now the birthdays. If you're